This is a Montbog Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Well, it's good to see you all. How are you? Amen. And, you know, that was touch and go there a bit as far as being able to see you all. Number one, I had a big scratch down my glasses yesterday morning, and, you know, it was like having to look at people around a light pole. But then when I go to catch the plane on Friday, the flight had been cancelled, and so they weren't going to get me here in time for Friday night, but managed to get another flight. But because my flight was cancelled, I had enough time to. I found a text on my phone that my new glasses were ready. Yeah. So I'm not looking at you around a light pole now. Praise God, hallelujah. You know, some people that's a good thing, and other anyway. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And it's nice to be here. You guys have been, you know, family to me for a long time. You know, when I think just about everybody put their hand up on Friday night when I said, "So who's heard me share before?" Nearly everyone put their hand up, and. It's just this church has been sort of been like my Melbourne home for a long time. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's get into the Word. Thank you, mighty God. You know, in Matthew 28 and verses 19 and 20. And Jesus said, "Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations." Amen. And you know, the rendering in the Greek. Now, I have concluded that the primary meaning of this scripture is that we are meant to go to all the nations and make disciples from among those nations. And it says, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. So that then sort of, he's giving it, what is this making disciples mean? And really, the making disciples, there's sort of like three big commands of Jesus. You know, number one, love God. Number two, love people, your neighbour. People. He sort of broadened that out there, that in neighbour is even people of another nation. And people that you share the planet with, praise God. Anybody that's, though, you know, if anyone's on a space station, you can reach out to them too. Hallelujah, send them a Twitter or something. And then the last command of Jesus is, go into all the world, preach the gospel and make disciples. So the three big commands of Jesus, love God, love people and make disciples. Sometimes if I'm writing a letter and I have to look important, I write Carl, middle initials RJ Mush, and I finish it with LGLPMD, and MD looks very, you know, make disciples. You know, if anyone asks, it's not medical doctor. Hallelujah. And so, but really, there, you know, recently we had Billy Graham pass away, and at the height of his popularity, basically a survey had said that Billy Graham was the most trusted figure in America. And so people said, "Billy, you should run for president." And he probably would have won. But this was what he said. He said, "Why would I stoop to the position of president when I have the greatest job in all the world of sharing the gospel?" Amen? Hallelujah. Why I have the most exalted position in all the world, I'm an ambassador for the kingdom of God. Amen? Hallelujah. But here's the truth, so are you. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, so, you know, if anyone offers you the job of president of America, you know, you are at liberty to take it. You know, or of anything else for that matter, as long as Jesus is okay with that. But it does illustrate the significance of the, you know, of the job that we have in sharing this gospel. You know, Romans 1 and verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God to save all who will believe." Amen? This message that saved you has the power to save every other person on planet Earth. Hallelujah. And conversely, that means that unless we share this gospel that has saved us, the world is on its way to hell. You know that 40% of the nations of the world, 4 out of 10, that's nearly half of the nations of the world, have no gospel witness. Now, the term nations is, I'm not really talking about countries, and neither is the Bible when it talks about nations. The word nations in the Greek is the Greek word ethne, and when they translated the Old Testament into Greek, they chose that word for nations in the Septuagint or the Greek Old Testament as well. So it has the same meaning, and it means family group. It means a group of people who share a common identity by heritage and language. Amen? Hallelujah. And so God's intention is that every nation, and so it's the same as every, so 40% of the world has no gospel witness amongst it. They have no local church that they could go to. They have no group of believers who are meeting together for the purpose of representing Jesus. You know, that's why we meet together as a church, isn't it? You know that. That's why you exist as a church, is to represent Jesus to the world. Amen? You know, Jesus loves you. Anyone heard that rumor before? Anyone heard that Jesus loves you? Yeah. Then what on earth has he left you here for? You know, in Melbourne? Goodness me. How? Why has he left you here if he loves you? It's because the world needs you. Yeah, hearing what I'm saying? I mean, Jesus would have raptured you straight away. I mean, he just loves you so much. Boom, beep, got saved. Boom. And you're gone. You know, he could have done that. Up and away, every time you lead somebody to Jesus, they start to float. Oh, another one gone. Praise the Lord. Another one in heaven. But no, he hasn't done that because the reason he didn't say just go and, as I shared on Friday night, the first time I went into Arnhem Land, I did a crusade and saw about 160 decisions for Christ, which was a quarter of a community, come to Christ. And then they asked me to stay and be their pastor. They didn't have anybody who felt that they were trained in any way to lead a church. And they said, "Carl, can you be the pastor?" Now, my church that I had in Darwin had a regular attendance of about 6. And so here's 160 people asking me to be the pastor. And here's the funny thing is 4 of my 6 were with me, helping me do the crusade. And so they actually were nearly, if you saw where they lived, they'd have been happy to just move in with me there at Barunga. And so I say, "Okay, can I stay and be the pastor?" And he goes, "No." And they go, "But we just had 160 babies here and I feel like we're leaving them here to die." And he goes, "Well, I didn't tell you to go and get decisions. I told you to go and make disciples." Ah. Goodness me. I mean, like I was sharing the other night, we had blind eyes opening, cripples walking, testimonies of 40 toothaches and tooth decays being healed. And they even looked like they were healed. I was game enough to look in a few mouths. It was mind-boggling what God had done, but 160 salvations was the ultimate achievement. You know, it was the great. And God gives me a slap and says, "I wasn't doing what He told me to do." Right? Okay. Because making disciples, I'll move Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, and it says this: "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind," or the changing of your thinking, "that you may," and then it goes on to say, "that you may prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Amen. You know, the Bible doesn't say that miracles prove the gospel. It doesn't say that. What it says is that a transformed life, amen, that comes from a transformed mind proves the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen? Hallelujah. So God is intending, you know, Paul writes and he says, I believe, is it to the Thessalonians where he says, you are an epistle known and read of all men. Amen? Praise God. Well, it's certainly to somebody who is talking to in the Bible. That your life, you know, most people will never read the Bible, but lots of people are going to read you. In Aboriginal ministry, and if I can just say with most tribal people, okay, most tribal people in the world, you will find that there hasn't been much technological advancement where they live for a very long time. And it's a result of a certain kind of thinking. And you will find that when you share a message with them, they don't, to determine whether it is true or not, they don't analyze the message. You know, if you, how would I put it? The physical impossibility of something, that doesn't worry them. You know, that you might tell them that somebody rose from the dead. Yeah, that's cool. No worries. Sure. That's all possible. But they don't. What they do is they analyze the messenger. And so for many people of the world, they're not really interested in your apologetics. It won't make any difference to them whatsoever. What will make a difference to them is your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So today, I want to share the testimony of the transformation, not just of an individual, but I want to share the testimony of the transformation of a community. So God wants to transform your life as an individual, but he also wants to transform our communities. You know, Proverbs 14 and verse 4 says that righteousness exalts a nation. Amen? Whereas sin is a reproach to any people. So righteousness exalts, builds up a nation, and this word nation, again, it isn't just a country, it's a group of people who share a common identity, usually by language and heritage, okay? And so, I mean, I wish I had a bigger story. You know, I wish I could say that I'd been to Mauritius, you know, and the whole of nation of Mauritius was transformed. Their whole government and all of their legal system is now founded on the word of God. I've been to this, you know, but I can say I've been to a number of little Aboriginal communities that are completely changed in their nature because people have come to know Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, Revelations chapter 12 and verse 11, it says, and they overcame, God became him. And I've been overcome just about, to be honest, by the John G. Lake story. You know, I can almost not preach after having heard that, you know, that was shared this morning. I mean, I reckon we could have just read that story and said, okay, now let's sit and meditate on that, and what are we going to do? You know, how should that impact our lives, and all go home? But hey, you guys got me to come down and talk to you, so I may as well do that. Praise God, hallelujah! But I just pray that you be impacted by that. That just blew me away. You know, the level of sacrifice. But why am I sharing about Revelations 12 and verse 11? It says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb." Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, we said in communion that Jesus said, this is the blood of the new covenant. Drink it. Amen. In remembrance of me. We're meant to be drinking. In Leviticus, it says that the life of the creature is in the blood. Amen. So as we're taking communion, what we're meant to be remembering, hallelujah, is that the life of Jesus is in us. Amen. Hallelujah. So there is what Jesus did at the cross that's the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. But if people don't see that life in you, and if people don't hear of how they can receive that life, what Jesus did at the cross will make no difference to them. And so if they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb, they must have done something with it. Amen. Hallelujah. They must have taken the life of Jesus into themselves, praise God, and lived it, praise God. So as we're taking communion, we're meant to be expecting, hallelujah, that the life of Jesus is in us so that people would see that life in the way that we relate to them. Amen. And the way that we live. As like I said, Romans 12 says that as we are transformed, it will prove. Everyone say prove. But it's beyond a shadow of a doubt. Prove, praise God, the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. And so, but then the second thing in Revelation chapter 12 and 11, it says, so they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, which is primarily what Jesus has done. Amen. But and the word of their testimony. Amen. And so this morning I want to share something of the testimony of Munmoy, praise God, of what God has done there. Some of you might remember that in the early days of my visiting here, I came down with Anderson George, an Aboriginal pastor from Beswick. Amen. And so this is a community that Anderson and I went to together with, and his wife, Serena, and saw God just do amazing things. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I think, what do you reckon? Do you reckon we should have a go at this PowerPoint? Yep, we're in agreement. We're having a crack. Amen. So you will be the first live human beings to have seen this PowerPoint. Hallelujah. Previously, up to then, it was only lab rats and guinea pigs. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I can see it at the front as well as behind me. That's, well, technology, eh? And water with little lids on it. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So, you may have noticed we're not in Sydney. That's right, I did say there was two reasons I was going to share this testimony. One was the Word of God. The other is, well, I suppose you are best more guinea pigs in a way. I'm supposed to be sharing at a conference in Sydney next week. They've given me a 12-minute slot. And so on the morning that I left for the airport, we finished this PowerPoint. So I sort of figured, well, I could probably use it somewhere else before I get there and see how I do. I got a feeling I'm going to take longer than 12 minutes to get through this. But anyway, we'll move on. You know who I am, and you know who Anderson is. But this is Munmoy. It's pretty amusing to me. You know, that little picture is 11 kilobytes. You know, anyway, that impresses me. But there it is. It's a camera phone photograph out of the aeroplane window as you're landing into Munmoy. Now, see that strip of dirt at the front? That is the Munmoy International Airport. Of course, it's only an international airport when they're flying drugs in. But other than that, it's generally just for local traffic. Praise God. Hallelujah. Or planned Indonesian evasions, whichever comes first. Hang on, where are we up to? I'm going to try and read the script here, because I've got to, you know, here we go. So, together with our wives, Anderson and I started Indigenous Ministry Links Australia 20 years ago. And we're wanting to share with you the story of revival in a community called revival and transformation of a community called Munmoy. It's a 10-year journey so far. About an hour from Maningrida in West Arnhem Land, we saw a sign. Have we got the sign? We saw a sign. Munmoy, 27 kilometres. Is it 27? Yep, 27 kilometres. to Mun Mui. It was 2 p.m. and I thought we should be able to scoot in and out and still get to Maningrida before dark. Little did I know. And well, Anderson's wife actually looked at the sign and goes, "Oh, Mun Mui, I haven't been there since I was 3 years of age. All my family live there. Please, can we go into Mun Mui?" And yeah, all right. Well, so I thought we'd have a go. Well, we got bogged 5 times on the track to Mun Mui. The road was so bad that we even lost the road altogether. That's me looking for a road. When we got to the last river, let's go to the next slide. That's some of the road. That's actually a bit of, that's at the time, that would have been a good bit. Partly because they certainly didn't have little warning signs back then. If I can just say, almost none of these slides are actually from the time, but we visit there on a regular basis, so I've taken photos since and put them all together as if you're actually there. And next slide. So by the time we got, this is the last river crossing, by the time we got to there, at one point the river crossing was 50 metres wide. Now this is actually coming out. The water had actually come down quite a bit. But this is the only photograph from the original visit to Mun Mui in our 1968 Land Rover. And on the way in, the water was coming over the bonnet. And I thought it was about to come over the windowsills. But we made it. Now, to be honest, when I saw that river at 50 metres wide, steep sandy banks on both sides, and the only tyre tracks were tractors, I thought, this is not good. But the term thought may have been an overstatement, because after having dug out a truck 5 times and pushing it, all the blood had drained from my brain to my muscles. And which is the only reason that I can explain why I drove across that. Except that I figured, well, God has brought us this far. He hasn't brought us this far to turn around. But it was more I was afraid of having to dig the car out another 5 times on the way back to the road. We literally lost the road and turned up in another community because what have I got the list here? When we got there, there was nearly no food in the community. We saw a drum with a bit of rolled oats at the bottom. There were a handful of tea bags. Actually, that was all the food that we saw, was a drum with a handful of rolled oats and a few tea bags. And so we shared the food that we had with whoever was there. They had had a shop, but the shop went broke and closed because more food was stolen or given away than sold. Every car on the community was broken down. And about those tractor tyres, the tractor was even broken down. If someone wanted to go shopping, they had to pool their welfare money to charter a plane, and then whatever money they had left, they bought food with and flew back. Nobody who knew what the road was like would try to drive it. Silly me. And there was only one paying job on the whole community, 2 half-days a week as a teacher's aide. And being the prophetic types that we are, we realised that we were not going to get to Maningrida that night. So we decided to have a gospel meeting. And we invited everybody. Now, where are we up to? There we are. Bogged. There's a bit more of the road. Next. Yep, gospel meeting. Now, I couldn't find a picture of 2 old ladies, but that was one of the old ladies who was there. And that's her nephew this time. But we decided to have a gospel meeting. As you can see, the platform there is a little different to the one here. They didn't have lids on the glasses of water there, you know, if you look clear. No. They were already believers. And they wanted us to send a missionary or for one of us to stay in there and be the pastor. But God had given us a more apostolic approach that we had seen work before. Next. Anderson and his wife began to share their own personal stories of life and community transformation. I didn't know if or how we would ever get back. I didn't speak their language, and to be honest, neither did even Anderson or Serena very well. And so that old lady that you saw in the picture before, she spoke a language that Anderson and Serena spoke and translated that into the local language. But I said, look, they shared, and the old ladies go, please come and be our pastors or send a missionary or something. And I said, well, look, I tell you, I don't even know if we're going to be able to get back. The road's so bad. And we destroyed the car getting out. I said, I do know somebody who's willing to come. Oh, who? Well, it actually says it right here in the Bible. Who? What? In the Bible? Yep, no, it says somebody is willing to come. Let's have a look at Matthew 18 and verse 20. It says, if two or three gather in my name, I will be there in the middle among them. Hallelujah. And so I began to share just a few really quickly. You know, the transformed life and relationships when Jesus came to Zacchaeus' house, praise God. Jesus said, salvation has come to this house. But not only had that salvation affected all of his relationships with other people. Amen. Healing came to Peter's house when Jesus came. Jesus even wrecked a funeral when he came by raising a bloke from the dead. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus obviously didn't know what the minister was meant to be doing at the funeral. So I gave this challenge. So which do you want, Jesus or a missionary? Come on, which do you want, Jesus or a missionary? Jesus or a missionary? Jesus or a missionary? Guess what they picked? Jesus! Hallelujah. Praise God. They chose Jesus. That day, two old women chose to gather to pray for themselves and their family and their community every day. Hallelujah. And Anderson and Serena had shared their testimonies of what God had done in Beswick. Like I said, we'd seen this happen before. And so, and how children had started being the preachers because they're the only people who could read. So children, not that they preached, they just got up and read the Bible randomly, but you know, the kerplunk method of scripture revelation, you know, and started to read. And when the old people had had enough, they said, sit down now. But at Munmoy, the children began to read to their grandparents, and other old people began to gather to listen to the children read. But then, of course, other children were getting jealous of the ones who were reading, so children were lining up to read the Bible, and old people were lining up and getting their grandchildren to prove that their kids were better than their kids. Yeah, you know what grandparents are like. And so we've got the gatherings growing, praise God, just out of natural jealousy. Oh, and the Holy Ghost, sorry. A young lady started, let's have a go, let's drop down. So that's a sort of typical sort of bunch of children gathering with the family sitting on the ground. Hallelujah. I think they're even sitting on a mat there. That's pretty good. Next picture too, you can see the number of children really began to grow. A young lady started to do children's ministry. Now, this young lady had gone to Darwin to study to be to do the teacher's aid training. But while she was there, she went to a church, and she said she couldn't understand the preaching. She was just honest. Most people don't understand what the preacher's on about. But so she decided that she'd go down to the Sunday school and listen to the... I understood the Sunday school, praise God. So she went and she just sat in the Sunday school. She was just going so she could understand what somebody was talking about. You know, who knows that children's church workers are usually pretty hard to find. And so here's this young lady turning up at the children's church. Well, they put her to work pretty quickly. And so next thing, she's accidentally being trained in running children's church. 6 months later, she comes back to the community and starts to run it. But the only problem is they never really taught her to sing. And so she tried to sing the songs for the children. Next slide. An interesting thing about this is one of the most remote communities in Australia. And that's just not my opinion. That's what they said on TV about it. But this community produced a band that got a Gold Dedleys Award presented to them at the Opera House. However, a group of young men from there had been a pro-touring rock band, but the rock and roll lifestyle messed them up so badly that they could no longer perform. We're talking drugs, alcohol, affairs, they're coming home, their wives trying to kill them. So their producers dumped them back in the bush. The young lady tried to lead the children singing songs, but the musicians heard her trying to sing without instruments, and they volunteered to play and sing for the Sunday school if she gave them the words and the music. And so, well, that's what they looked like performing in Sydney. Next slide. That's what they look like performing at home. But they sound really deadly. And so, I didn't hear from this. Now, you do have to understand, I had not heard anything of what was going on for 18 months. Simply came, did one meeting, two old ladies promised me, and really, who cares what they promised me, they said they were going to get together every day and pray. That's all I knew, and all I knew was that I was not intending to drive back there in a hurry. But I don't know if any of you have ever tried to get newsletters from me. That is a sign and a wonder if you've ever received a newsletter from me. I have no idea how you get onto our newsletter list. I'm told that I should tell Gail and she puts them on the newsletters list, but that somehow there's a breakdown somewhere in that process. I don't know where it happens. But she'd put them on the newsletter list. And even more shocking, the Post even delivered it. Once a fortnight, they drop a mailbag and they just pour it out on the ground and people pick up the letters somebody who reads the names of the letters, and if anybody's there, they get them. But they got the newsletters. Let's go to the next slide. So I decided, I flew in this time with Mission Aviation Fellowship. They had started asking me to help them train their pilots to do bush ministry at the same time. And so I scored a bit of help from them. But the newsletters had spoke of what their relatives in Beswick were doing and had spoken of other communities starting their own churches. And so they began to believe that they could do it. What was really funny was, so I get back there and the leader of the community had pretended when I came the first time with Anderson and Serena, had pretended he couldn't speak English. And he was chopping up a buffalo with an axe at the time. But this time he ran out to the plane to meet me and welcomed me in perfect English. He's one of the blokes in the band. He went on to tell me that that since our last visit, the government had decided the community was not financially viable and they were withdrawing all funding. The community was falling apart. The day before I had arrived in the plane, a power pole had fallen over in a storm, hit a building, and the building had caught on fire. Though great things were happening in the spirit, in the natural, things seemed to be getting even worse. But then he asked me, this was the pivotal question. If the government won't look after us anymore, will God maybe look after us? Now, I could have given a glib answer, of course he will. But how many of you know that most of the promises of God are conditional? Amen? If you will do this, then I will do that. Praise God. It says in Proverbs 24 and verse 3, it says, wisdom builds the house. Hallelujah. And by and in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says that Christ has become for us wisdom. Now, I have people who just love to be dumb. and ignorant use that as an excuse to say dumb and ignorant. Okay, but let me just say, if you've received Christ, you've done one very smart thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. And if you choose to follow him, you're starting to get some wisdom there. Hallelujah. Amen. So there's some wisdom right there. Praise God. And some understanding. Praise God. But as you know Christ, the truth is God intends for you to learn how he wants you to live. Amen. He doesn't want you to continue to live in ignorance. He wants you to begin to learn wisdom. And so these guys, so that day was one of the most amazing days of my life. I began to explain the gospel of the kingdom of God to them. Now, the kingdom of God just involves a king. It involves a change of rulership, amen? A change of who's in charge. Most people think that they're in charge of their own life. But the Bible says there's really only two masters. You hearing what I'm saying? You're either serving the devil or you're serving God, but the devil's happy to make you think that you're in charge. Hallelujah. You know, it's a little bit like, who remembers? Yeah, so the devil likes to make people think that they're in charge, when there's really somebody else pulling the strings. So, we've got another picture. Here is another picture of Munmore. Now, let's see. Can we get the little video? Okay. It's probably, yeah. This picture isn't as important. Okay. All right, then. So I'm just going to keep going and start. If you find that picture, just you can run with it. Oh, let's go to the next picture. Go on, let's skip that one. There we go. There's the next picture. That day, like I said, everybody, over the next weekend, from Friday through Saturday, Sunday, every person in the community began to gather together. And shared about what a difference it would make if Jesus was in charge of their life. And then when I realized that everybody had made a decision for Christ, I began to share what a difference Jesus could make in their community. Amen. If they would together put Jesus in charge. You know, he told us to pray, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And that can begin to take place when everybody submits to heaven. Hallelujah. They discussed the message among themselves in their language and decided that they were going to make Jesus the king of their community. Things in this little community began to change very quickly. Praise God. The children became so well behaved. I went up to the school to see if school was on, and I assumed that there was nobody there, so I opened the door and I walked in because it was the coolest room in the place. I was looking for somewhere to have a sleep. But there were they were totally silent, sitting at their desks doing work. I became totally silent. I was so stunned. Not only were the children totally silent sitting at their desks doing work, the teacher wasn't even in the room and they were sitting at their desks doing work totally silent. The kids became so well behaved that the teacher refused to go to any other community. He was only paid to go there 2 half-days a week, and he told them, "Nope, I'm not going anywhere else, I'm staying here." Families began to move to the community. It was only 56 people when I arrived, and it grew to 126 because people came, got saved, and stayed. Other people just moved there because they heard about what God was doing, so they just moved. People were living in tents and on verandas and in shacks that had been chicken sheds, and I mean, it was amazing. But so the number of children actually doubled in the school so that they even got the funding they needed to be a full-time school. Praise God. And it's still full-time. Whoop. Oh, well. You can try. And so a Christian couple, Leon and Nolene, were originally from Manmoy, but they'd been living in Awanpele. On my way out, we told them about what God was doing in Manmoy. I didn't know that they were going. I didn't ask them to do this, but they just decided, well, we should go in there and teach them the word of God if they've all given their hearts to the Lord. So next shot, Leon, next one. Well, it's me again. How do I get up there? Next shot, Leon. Next shot, Leon baptizing some people. Next shot, Nolene. So they just went out there and they just started to teach the word of God. They had nowhere to live, so they would move out. They would sleep in the community office and go home again. So they would come out, stay for a little while, go back home. Praise the Lord. A huge breakthrough, though, came for them when Landcare Australia was looking for a group to do ranger work. With a little bit of help, Manmoy residents formed their own company that now has government contracts. Next, there we go. Hallelujah. They now have 100% employment, praise God. They have government contracts for feral animal control, weed control, fencing of archaeological sites, and scientific data collection. And food is now flowing in weekly at town prices. Some people are growing their own fruit and vegetables. Though hunting has come back. When I first went there... Thanks, Ken. And it's good that it's on the ground. It can't get any lower. Only problem is it... No, I can't even kick it from here. And last time I came to Melbourne, I managed to demolish the pulpit that I was preaching from. So anyway, you can see I like to lean on it a bit. Yeah, I try to behave myself. Hallelujah. And so when I first came down, the government had just taken away all the guns. Like, it took about 10 years for John Howard's gun removal law to filter its way all the way to Manmoy. But the police had come to take the guns. They even took the gun safe. And people had gotten out of the habit of throwing pointy sticks at things to get their food. But here we are, a few years later, and they've got a hang of the pointy sticks again. Look at that. Next one. More pointy sticks. Praise God. Crocodiles are endangered species once again. Praise God. The small ones are endangered. The people are more endangered, actually, probably, than the crocodiles, but they don't know that. And so many people have bought cars. There are some going cars. I even saw a falcon there last time I was there. And so next, the road. Look at that. See, the road has improved. You want to have a crack? No, we're not going. There we go. There's an improved road. Isn't that nice? In fact, the project even did a story on a transformed community. And so they're the ones who told me it was one of the most remote communities in Australia. I just figured that it seemed remote. Next. Hallelujah. You know, crime is not an issue. In fact, the courts will often send mentally ill and criminals to Manmoy, basically to be, what's the word? Re-something. Rehabilitated. I'll write that into rehabilitated. And so, but one of the greatest things is that God has raised up a group of people who are going and doing ministry in the region. This is a Manmoy team in Palumpa. Palumpa is what was traditionally a Catholic mission. And hey, when we told them that you could go straight to Jesus to get your sins forgiven, they were really excited, you know, that they didn't have to book an appointment with the priest to be forgiven. You know, we even told them they could talk to God directly, that they didn't have to go through Mary. And they were, you know, that was quite a revelation for them. And next one. And so the neighbouring community of Yadarakal, I go out there thinking that I'm going to do, you know, just give some tracks and some DVDs. And they said, do I want to stay for the meeting? And that's nearly all the men of Yadarakal And that was the other funny thing. It was all the men. All the men were gathering for the meeting. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because traditionally, it is the men's role to do the spiritual business on behalf of the community. Hallelujah. Yes, minister. We're really messed up when the church is all full of women. But without the men taking the leadership. Things are a little bit messed up when all the women stay home and all the men just go to church. But, you know, I'm going to prefer that level of messed up. Praise God. And so, hallelujah. What other slides have we got? Hallelujah. That's actually a video when we figure out how to play the videos. And there we go. There's another picture. We'll stop there. That's actually, we had our first ever national leaders gathering. I've been at this for 30 years, 31 years, and at the 29-year mark, so not last year but the year before, we had our first ever national leaders gathering. And a good swag of them are from Manmoi, praise God. But we've got them there from Western Australia, New South Wales, Queensland, Northern Territory, gathering together. One of my goals for the ministry is not that be just Carl running around in the bush encouraging a lot of Aboriginal people, but that Aboriginal people would begin to encourage one another, amen? You know, it's really funny. People in Maningrida were asking me to come and support them. People in Owen Pelly were asking me to come and support them. They are about maybe 250 kilometres apart. It's 3,000 kilometres for me to go and visit either of them. But we've actually got them supporting each other. Praise God. In fact, a group from Manmoi went out there and saw 250 young people come to Christ in a week. Praise the Lord. And the church, over a six-week period, grew in attendance to 300 from 25. Praise God. And so it's not about me. Hallelujah. They've led nearly every person on the surrounding four communities to Christ. I'd have liked to have brought a team with me, but until this week, you couldn't even get across the river to get out of Central and Western Arnhem Land, so they were stuck there the day that I left. Actually, it's really funny. The road opened actually to get out the same day I caught the plane to come down. But please don't come looking for a Christian utopia, because you won't find it. But where God has taken people from, and what he has done with a desperate group of people, is nothing short of amazing. I mean, as you can see, when I said, and the road's got a lot better, your driveways all look better than that road. Okay, hallelujah. But at least you can find it now. Hallelujah. So when we're talking about transformation, I'm not saying that they have a four-lane paved highway out to the community. What I'm saying is that God has made the impossible possible. Amen? Each house looked like it was living on a rubbish dump. But when they all got saved, they all got convicted that they were lying every day, filling out on the work for the dole thing that they were doing the rubbish collection. Because that was the only job that there was to do, was take the rubbish to the dump. And they didn't get convicted that they were living on a pile of rubbish. They got convicted that they were lying. And so, to stop lying, they actually took...
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbold Christian Fellowship.com.